Hello, mamas. It is a dark, dark day for us all. I just found out that Omegle is banned. It's gone. It's been deleted forever. This is such a dark day for us because Omegle was the United Nations of our generation. What other place could you log on at the ripe age of 13 as I did and see what an Indian man's noodle across the world in real time looks like? What other place can you be called 18 different slurs by the whitest dude from Alabama other than Omegle? We have lost a piece of history. We've lost a piece of history, and we will never get it back, okay? I don't give a hoo-ha! It's like a minute and 30, and I feel like I can't swear yet. I don't know the YouTube rule. You can't like swear the first like 30 seconds. I don't care. I am happy. I've never been happier. I am rejoicing. The evil has been defeated. We are no longer chained down to Omegle. I will look back at this website and piss on its grave. And we'll get into that right after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so I really don't know like what the full lore is. I realized that Omegle got banned. It's so crazy to find out. But you go to their website, and what is usually like, you know, the classic spread, you type in your interests, you get traumatized in 10 minutes, has been replaced by sort of like a manifesto. I've skimmed it, but I'd like to read it for y'all just so we're like fully, we have the full context. Skip ahead like 5 minutes if you don't want to hear it, but listen up. No, like don't skip ahead because this is the last piece of Omegle that you will ever get to experience in your life, okay? This was written by the founder of Omegle, which I don't know why I thought it was like a Bitcoin situation where like the founder just fucking disappeared or like moved to like a island somewhere. Apparently he was like running this thing, which is very fucking surprising because Omegle does not feel like a website that is run by humans. It feels like it's run by the North Korean government. So anyways, here we go. Buckle up. Also, this drawing is so dramatic. The way he made this shit in like Microsoft Paint in like 3 seconds. This starts with a quote by C.S. Lewis. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. I don't know what the fuck that means. Sorry, like, the dropped out of college is, like, really showing now, but, yeah, I don't know what that meant. Then this next quote is from Douglas Adams. In the beginning, the universe was created. This has made a lot of people very angry and been widely regarded as a bad move. Okay. So here we go. This is now from the founder. Dear strangers, from the moment I discovered the internet at a young age, it has been a magical place to me. Growing up in a small town, relatively isolated from the larger world, it was a revelation how much more there was to discover. How many interesting people and ideas the world had to offer. As a young teenager, I couldn't just waltz onto a college campus and tell a student, "Let's debate moral philosophy." I couldn't walk up to a professor and say, "Tell me something interesting about microeconomics." But online, I was able to meet those people and have those conversations. I was also an avid Wikipedia editor, which, side note, I want to get into so bad. I want to be a Wikipedia editor so bad. It looks so lit. Back to it. I contributed to open source software projects, and I often helped answer computer programming questions posed by people many years older than me. In short, the internet opened the door to a much larger, more diverse, and more vibrant world than I would have otherwise been able to experience, and enabled me to be an active participant and contributor to that world. All of this helped me to learn and to grow into a more well-rounded person. Trigger warning essay. Moreover, as a survivor of childhood essay, I was acutely aware that anytime I interacted with someone in the physical world, I was risking my physical body. The internet gave me a refuge from that fear. I was under no illusion that only good people use the internet, but I knew that if I said no to someone online, they couldn't physically reach through the screen and hold a weapon to my head, or worse. I saw the miles of copper wires and fiber optic cables between me and the other people as a kind of shield, one that empowered me to be less isolated than my trauma and fear would have otherwise allowed. I launched Omegle when I was 18 years old and still living with my parents. It was meant to build on the things I loved about the internet, while introducing a form of social spontaneity that I felt didn't exist elsewhere. If the internet is a manifestation of the global village, Omegle was meant to be a way of strolling down a street in that village, striking up conversations with people you ran into along the way. The premise was rather straightforward. When you used Omegle, it would randomly place you in a chat with someone else. These chats could be as long or as short as you choose. If you didn't want to talk to a particular person for whatever reason, you could simply end the chat and, if desired, move on to another chat with someone else. It was the idea of meeting new people distilled down to almost its platonic ideal. Building on what I saw as the intrinsic safety benefits of the internet, users were anonymous to each other by default. This made chats more self-contained and made it less likely that a malicious person would be able to track someone else down off-site after their chat ended. I didn't really know what to expect when I launched Omegle. Would anyone even care about some website that an 18-year-old kid made in his bedroom in his parents' house in Vermont with no marketing budget? But it became popular almost instantly after launch and grew organically from there, reaching millions of daily users. I believe this had something to do with meeting new people being a basic human need, and with Omegle being the best way to fulfill that need, as the saying goes, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door. Over the years, people have used Omegle to explore foreign cultures, to get advice about their lives from impartial third parties, and to help alleviate feelings of loneliness and isolation. I've even heard stories of soulmates meeting on Omegle and getting married. Those are only some of my highlights. Unfortunately, there are also lowlights. Virtually every tool can be used for good or for evil, and that is especially true of communication tools due to their innate flexibility. The telephone can be used to wish your grandmother happy birthday, but it can also be used to call in a bomb threat. There can be no honest accounting of Omegle without acknowledging that some people misused it, including to commit unspeakably heinous crimes. I believe in a responsibility to be a good Samaritan and to implement reasonable measures to fight crime and other misuse. That is exactly what Omegle did. In addition to the basic safety feature of anonymity, there was a great deal of moderation behind the scenes, including state-of-the-art AI operating in concert with a wonderful team of human moderators. Jesus Christ. They had humans, like, moderating them. That is horrific. That's the scariest thing I've read so far. Omegle punched above its weight in content moderation, and I'm proud of what we accomplished. Omegle's moderation even had a positive impact beyond the site. Omegle worked with law enforcement agencies and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to help put evildoers in prison where they belong. There are people rotting behind bars right now, thanks in part to evidence that Omegle proactively collected against them and tipped the authorities off to. All that said, the fight against crime isn't one that can ever truly be won. It's a never-ending battle that must be fought and refought every day, And even if you do the very best job at it, it is possible. Even if you do the very best job, it is possible for you to do. You may make a sizable dent, but you won't win in any absolute sense of that word. That's heartbreaking, but it's also a basic lesson of criminology and one that I think the vast majority of people understand on some level. Even superheroes, the fictional characters that our culture imbues with special powers as a form of wish fulfillment in the fight against crime, don't succeed at eliminating crime altogether. In recent years, it seems that the whole world has become more ornery. Maybe that has something to do with the pandemic or with political disagreements. Whatever the reason, people have become faster to attack and slower to recognize each other's shared humanity. One aspect of this has been a constant barrage of attacks on communication services, Omegle included, based on the behavior of a malicious subset of users. To an extent, it is reasonable to question the policies and practices of any place where crime has occurred. I've always welcomed constructive feedback, and indeed, Omegle implemented a number of improvements based on such feedback over the years. However, the recent attacks have felt anything but constructive. The only way to please these people is to stop offering the service. Sometimes they say so explicitly and avowedly, other times it can be inferred from their act of setting standards that are not humanly achievable. Either way, the net result is the same. Omegle is the direct target of these attacks, but their ultimate victim is you. All of you out there who have used or would have used Omegle to improve your lives and the lives of others. When they say Omegle shouldn't exist, they're really saying that you shouldn't be allowed to use it, and that you shouldn't be allowed to meet random new people online. That idea is anathema, what the fuck is that word, to the ideals I cherish, specifically to the bedrock principle of a free society, that when restrictions are imposed to prevent crime, the burden of those restrictions must not be targeted at innocent victims or potential victims of crime.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Holy shit, I needed a breather. Okay, continuing on. We're almost at the end. Hang in there. I know this is the most wordy thing you've ever heard. Okay. Consider the idea that society ought to force women to dress modestly in order to prevent SA. One counterargument is that SAists don't really target women based on their clothing, but a more powerful counterargument is that irrespective of what SAists do, women's rights should remain intact. If society robs women of their rights to bodily autonomy and self-expression based on the action of SAists, even if it does so with the best intentions in the world, then society is practically doing the work of SAists for them. Fear can be a valuable tool guiding us away from danger. However, fear can also be a mental cage that keeps us from all of the things that make life worth living. Individuals and families must be allowed to strike the right balance for themselves based on their own unique circumstances and needs. A world of mandatory fear is a world ruled by fear, a dark place indeed. I've done my best to weather the attacks with the interest of Omegle's users and the broader principle in mind. If something as simple as meeting random new people is forbidden, what's next? That is far and away removed from anything that could be considered a reasonable compromise of the principle I outlined. Analogies are a limited tool, but a physical world analogy might be shutting down Central Park because crime occurs there, or perhaps proactively destroying the universe because it contains evil. A healthy free society cannot endure when we are collectively afraid of each other to this extent. Unfortunately, what is right doesn't always prevail. As much as I wish circumstances were different, the stress and expense of this fight, coupled with the existing stress and expense of operating Omegle and fighting its misuse, are simply too much. Operating Omegle is no longer sustainable financially nor psychologically. Frankly, I don't want to have a heart attack in my 30s. The battle for Omegle has been lost, but the war against the internet rages on. Virtually every online communication service has been subject to the same kinds of attacks as Omegle. And while some of them are much larger companies with much greater resources, they all have their breaking point somewhere. I worry that, unless the tide turns soon, the internet I fell in love with may cease to exist, and in its place, we will have something closer to a souped-up version of TV focused largely on passive consumption with much less opportunity for active participation and genuine human connection. If that sounds like a bad idea to you, please consider donating to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, an organization that fights for your rights online. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to everyone who used Omegle for positive purposes and to everyone who contributed to keep the site's success in any way. I'm so sorry I couldn't keep fighting for you. Sincerely, Leif K. Brooks, founder of Omegle.com, LLC. Let's unpack that right after this quick break. Okay. Unpacking that, first I want to start off by saying I had no clue that like Omegle was under attack, and I really wish that he would like go into detail about like what that meant, like what kind of attacks, like who is attacking Omegle.com. Like, as far as I knew, that website was just like rotting on the internet. Like, was it like DDoS attacks? Was it like governmental regulation? Like, I really wish he would have just elaborated on that, because like to cite that as your main reason why Omegle has to go bye-bye, and then not explain what the attacks were, was it very confusing. But I don't know, I'm guessing they're like probably so scary or something that he like doesn't want to talk about it. But second point that like really stood out to me is kind of at the end, how he was saying that like so many things have like an inherent evilness to them. Like, obviously, like you can eat hot Cheetos and they have like red dye in them that gives you cancer, or we fly in planes and, but like one in like 10 million like crash, but we don't ban planes. Interesting perspective, because obviously Omegle, like, it's hard to like really like weigh if Omegle is more positive than good. I'm gonna say that it wasn't. I feel like he's looking at his website as like his baby, even though it's an ugly baby. But I can't think of like a time that I like logged onto Omegle and like left feeling like warm and fuzzy. And I don't deny that there's probably been like amazing things that have happened on Omegle. Like, he mentioned people have gotten married, found their soulmates. I've even like met like internet friends through Omegle. So like, I think that is a really cool and amazing thing. But at the end of the day, it's like almost everyone you talk to who has been on that website has like experienced something very traumatizing. Like, I remember like literally seeing, because, you know, obviously there's like people that just like log on and like will like flash like a nipple or something and like, or do something like that. But there's been much more heinous things that I've seen on there. Like, obviously I've been on it a lot. Like, I am a YouTuber that has done probably like 15 Omegle videos, and we'll get into like my personal connection to it like later. But I have seen like videos that people have just like played through like a simulated camera that like have stuck with me forever. Like, words can't even describe, like death and like beheading, like just flicking through Omegle and seeing that, like, it really is crazy. And I can't think of any other place on the internet where like people are exposed to that like at all. Like, you can't just like, most people aren't like stumbling across like live leak websites. Like, you kind of have to seek that out. Like, Omegle was like kind of the last place where you would just be like hit with that. And I really can't imagine like being in his position where like you've created something that has the potential to be like so good and so awesome, but it's used in like the most nefarious way so much. But I'm happy that it's gone. I think like maybe it needed to exist. Okay, I'll speak from like my perspective now for a little bit. A lot of people were like DMing me. Like, when it got banned, I was getting so many DMs like right after it got being banned. Like, that's how I found out, is I like saw my DMs be like, "Ben, Omegle is banned," like a crying face. And like, genuinely, I felt nothing but like, at first like ambivalence, and then like just like joy, because I think I made it like clear in my videos that I like didn't enjoy going on Omegle. It was almost more of like a punishment, like like suffering content in a way, more so than me enjoying it, which like I've kind of moved away from in my videos. Like, I think it's funny here and there to do something where it's like a challenge and it's like, you know, I know y'all are like sick, twisted, and like seeing me in pain, but you know, I had done enough, and it got to the point where it's like Omegle was like a necessary evil during COVID. Like, that was like literally one of the only ways you could have human interaction almost. So now that like COVID is done, liberals, sorry if you don't want to admit that, take your mask off. Sorry. Now that COVID's done, it doesn't really serve a purpose. And I do look to like some YouTubers that like literally just made Omegle content, and I thank God I am not them, because what the fuck do you do now? What do you do now? There is like alternative websites, like there's like Chat Roulette or something, I think it's called. But it's like nothing will ever be as iconic as Omegle. But you know, I kind of made that my brand from like 2020 to like 2021. I think I was posting like probably like one or two Omegle videos a month. Like, I was really pumping it the fuck out. And like, I think mostly, like, it was very easy to do, obviously. Like, it does not take a fucking genius to, like, log on to Omegle.com and just, like, be silly with strangers, or, like, throw in, like, a theme. Like, casting spells on people on Omegle. Jump scaring people on Omegle. Like, that's fucking brain dead content. That did not take anything from me. It was maybe, like, a little bit difficult to edit, but, like, what I will say, like, it was, like, a nice kind of, like, break for, like, when if I was ever feeling like creatively drained or something and like didn't know what I wanted to do on YouTube the next week, I'd be like, fuck it, let's just go on Omegle. So I will always love it for that. But I moved away from it. Like, quite frankly, quite simply, I knew that like it wasn't something I wanted to like do forever. And I posted I think the last Omegle video I posted was like 2 months ago, and it was like maybe the first one of the year, first or second one that I'd posted throughout the year. And I just thought it'd be like fun to do it in public, like a fun little spin. And what I also want to say is like my Omegle videos for some reason were like very big during the pandemic, but they flop now. Like, out of all my videos, they are floppington. The matter of the fact is no one gives a fuck about Omegle anymore. And it's interesting because I had a lot of people reach out who were like like very big fans of like Omegle and like the Omegle videos that I did, and they were like very heartbroken. But I'm realizing that it's not reflective of most people. I think most people don't care, because you can go outside, motherfucker. You can go outside and talk to people. What the fuck do you need Omegle for? It's like genuinely, it does not serve a large purpose anymore. At all. And I do find it interesting that like now of all times is when we lost it, because if there's like these people that wanted to bring it down, these like attackers, as the founder said, why wouldn't they do it when it was like at its peak, like in COVID, when like everyone was on that motherfucker? Like, it would say like 200,000 users online. Why now, when it's like irrelevant in a sense? I don't know. It is kind of weird though, because it leaves the internet like now in this place where we don't have this like third space to just like meet strange. I mean, we do, blah blah blah, we have like I said Fandango because I got an email from Fandango that says don't miss the trolls. I would rather drink fucking lighter fluid and then eat a match than go see the trolls, Fandango. But sorry, Chat Roulette is what I meant. But it is interesting. Oh, the final point I want to touch on that, like, I really, like, actually really agree with is it is scary how the internet is becoming so fucking passive. Like, the internet used to be a place where, like, everyone was participating in a way that you were, like, creating stuff and submitting stuff, or even just, like, chatting and creating threads on forums as much as you were consuming. And now all people do on the internet is consume. Like, probably 98% of people on the internet are literally just there to watch mindlessly, to like turn your brain off and watch TikTok for an hour and then log off, which is so fucking sad because one of the most beautiful things about the internet is it is the best place to like create things and share things that you've created. And now the internet, there's this theory, I think it's called like dead internet theory. Forgive me if I fuck that up, but it's this theory that like the internet just has like no community anymore. It is like literally just bots everywhere just talking. No one has anything to say. No one's interacting with each other. We literally just eat the fucking daily meal that our algorithms like feed to us and then call it a day. And that's so sad. That's so sad. Especially old head over here, fucking borderline millennial Gen Z here, 24-year-old man yells at cloud. That was what made the internet so fucking great. And there's this other kind of like theory, which I've like heard on like the Emergency Intercom podcast. And they were talking about how like a lot of Gen Z people, and more so like younger Gen Z people, don't interact with the internet like the way that like probably I do and like people my age. And what I mean by that is they interact with the internet through like avatars, and they don't share like personal details. Like they don't post pictures of themselves. Everything they do on the internet is through like an avatar or a character. And I was like, fuck, that is actually like so very true. Emergency Intercom philosophy podcast. Wow. Like, and I realize it by like, I'll see so many accounts that are just like literally have like gotcha. Like, what is it called? Like, G-A-C-H-A. Is that pronounced gotcha? I don't fucking know. Like, gotcha profile pictures. And it's, like, they'll have, like, 1,000 videos, but, like, never a single video of themselves. Which, like, I think is very actually valid. Like, I think they're fucking onto something. We don't need to be, like, sharing, like, personal, like, details probably on the internet. Like, the logical side of my brain is, like, no. Like, do not share anything about yourself on fucking line. Digital footprint, all that, yada, yada, yada. But the heart and soul of me is like, damn, if we don't do that, if we're not like putting a piece of ourselves on the internet, what the fuck is the internet then? It's like gonna be, as he said, just like another form of TV where these like hyper curated, polished influencers are just like pumping out like junk food content for us to like see that like doesn't make us think or want to like chime in or inspire us to create anything of our own. It's literally just slop. So really interesting place that we are at in the internet now. But wow, like Omegle's gone. Also, fuck, is it pronounced Omegle or Omegle? I think it's Omegle because it's like Omega. But I'm Canadian, so I'm gonna fucking say Omegle, and I've said Omegle all my life. But yeah, it is interesting because like that was genuinely like probably a good coping mechanism for boredom. Like knowing that if you are just so fucking bored and so lonely, you can go on there and you can just talk to a stranger instantly. And the quality of that stranger probably won't be that good, but you would be surprised. Here and there, you'd find really awesome and cool people. Obviously, like when I would make Omegle videos, like I'd throw in clips of the most like insane and like crazy and scary people. But what I don't show and what I like left out was like the amazing people that I met. Like all the genuinely like so cool people. And even like people, like even new mamas that I would meet on there. Like obviously like a 4-minute like clip of me being like, hey, oh my gosh, hi, and like bonding with someone doesn't make for good YouTube content. Where is the retention? But you know, I've had good moments on there. I have enjoyed times. It wasn't the majority of the time on Omegle that I enjoyed at fucking all, but there were good times. And I don't know, I guess I really like wonder if I was in that situation, if I owned Omegle and felt all this pressure to take it down because it's monstrous. It opens up the doors for the most sick and disgusting people to do the most sick and disgusting things to, like, a lot of the time, children. I think I'd shut that shit down, too. I should probably shut it down, but even before I got to that, the second I saw a wiener, boom, server's fried, probably. Yeah, I'm curious what your thoughts are on it. Please comment down below if you're watching the YouTube video version of this, and let's get into the drama of the week. This week's drama comes from at Quarry 4114. Thank you. Hello. If you want me to read your drama on a future episode of this podcast, please just comment it on the YouTube video version of this podcast. Search up Drama Mama on YouTube, you know. Please keep it like 2 sentences. Keep it short and sweet, okay? You need a therapist for anything longer than that. Hi, Ben. I love your content for real. Thank you, sweetest. Here's my drama. My best friend has got himself a girlfriend a few months ago, and now she's the only thing he talks about / mentions. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he can't talk about his girlfriend at all, but it's to the point where he hangs out with her more than me and more than my other friends. Every time I ask in the group chat if we can call, he says he's busy calling / hanging with his girlfriend, and it's starting to bother me. Any advice? Thanks. This is like, why the fuck is there sirens outside? This is a very like common thing I feel that happens in relationships. Why is the sun fucking deep frying me right now? Bitch, I'm at like a chicken tender at fucking KFC. This happens like, I feel like, almost all the time. If it's like someone's first love, they are going to be so enamored with that person. They will, their whole like reality will be like clouded, and like they'll be so hyper focused on that person. And like, it truly isn't, I don't think it like speaks to their character if they like are talking to you less or like not wanting to like call. Very annoying. But they probably aren't even realizing it, because like in like your first love, like you're experiencing like a connection that is so strong that it almost makes like friendships feel like they have less weight to them and they become like less prioritized, I think. But that is very annoying. It might be worth it just to like reel them back in a little bit, be like, hey, pal, what about me? Your old fucking chum. You forget about me over here? Still waiting? Let's play something. Because even just like a little bit of self-awareness might help. But I think it, as much as it sucks, it is to be expected that like when your friend gets in a relationship, like they might drift away a little bit while they are dating that person. And mind you, it's not forever. And it's like not even necessarily until they break up. Okay. Like they might just like be in such a strong honeymoon phase and then like have more time for their friends like later on as their love dies and falls apart. Kidding. But yeah, sorry. It's a very annoying thing to go through, though. Very annoying. They just reach out and be like, Buster, what about some love for your old friend over here? Come on. Come on, pal. Okay, I love you all. RIP Omegle. Just kidding. Burning fucking hell. See you next Wednesday. Love you, mamas. What can I say? Sorry, I just fucking choked on saliva. Bye!